Welcome everyone. This is another episode of On.net. I'm Bertrand Leroy and I'm with Rich in the studio today. And with us, we have David Pine. Hi, David.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you? So, Happy New Year to everyone. Happy New Year to you, David.
Happy New Year to you as well.
And today we are going to talk about an interesting thing that you built. And when I mean, when I say build, I don't mean you know, running build on a computer. I mean build with your hands, a physical object.
Right. Yeah. So, I guess you could say I built it. It was kind of not really my idea. You know, I'm standing on the shoulders of giants, so to speak.
Aren't we all?
Following inspiration. Yeah, following the inspiration of others.
Yeah, so what you built is a magic mirror, which is what? Basically, it's a screen in a mirror?
Yeah, so basically, the general premise driving this is that you'll have a two-way mirrored acrylic piece of glass, and behind that, you'll have a display, and that display will project through the mirror. So that when you look at it from the front, you see obviously the mirror and then also the projection of the monitor, projecting through.
Right.
So with my application. Yeah.
So you're in your bathroom in the morning and you get the weather and the time and your appointments for the day. Is that what you're doing with it?
Yeah. So that's kind of what some other people have kind of done. Mine specifically does a little bit more. It gets a little more interesting. So I guess to take a step back in February of last year, I was actually inspired by others. You know, I saw a tweet from someone who had, you know, was kind of showcasing their magic mirror, and I was just in awe. I was totally inspired by it. I was like, I want to do this. I want to have a mirror like this, and what will it take? So I kind of took it to the next level. I was like, you know, I've never done anything with a Raspberry Pi before. So that was something new. I went and bought a Raspberry Pi 3 a couple months later. And, you know, I was excited to start putting, you know, kind of the concepts all together. So you had mentioned some people have weather and time and stuff like that. Mine also does music. And it actually talks to Microsoft Cognitive Services, so it can read my emotion. It actually does voice commands, so I can talk to it. I can ask it, for example, like, what's the weather? And it will regurgitate the current weather from my configured location.
Yeah. Wow. And you have it in the room right now?
Yeah, I do have it in the room right now, yes. Absolutely.
So maybe the best thing we could do is actually maybe do a demo. That would be excellent.
Yeah, start off right away with a demo?
Oh, let's do that.
Sure. Okay. So what you see now is actually the Magic Mirror wholesale. It's actually running the default application. So I'm going to go over here on my computer real quick and start my application.
So it's clearly a mirror. We can see your reflection in there.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, I had this weird reaction at first, like, where's the camera that's taking a picture of him and putting him on the screen?
It's just a mirror.
That
part you don't need to.
Yeah, no, I get that.
So let me ask it a question real quick. What's the weather? I'll just bear with me for a moment.
Sure.
What's the weather? What's the weather?
So when you ask for the weather, what exactly happens? So it sends what you're saying to Microsoft Cognitive Services, right?
Actually,
no.
So the voice
uses the voice recognition API that are in WPF.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So it's using voice. I'm going to turn this off real quick. bear with me for a moment.
Yeah.
Demo God error.
Of course.
So I'll explain a few things real quick, and we'll come back to the actual demo. So that might be a little more lucrative. So I'll sit back down. So to talk about some of the voice stuff real quick, it's a little sensitive. In fact, it's serialized such that voice recognition can only occur at the same time. It can't be voice synthesizing, right? So it's always listening. Unfortunately, the way I have it set up, there's no like, hey, Cortana, or hey, Siri, or hey, Alexa. So it's basically just always listening. So with any type of casual conversation, it can start doing things. And it was actually going to start playing music. So I saw that little command down there switch, and I was like, this is going to be obnoxious, so I need to stop this quick. So what we'll probably do here is I'll talk about how some of the stuff was kind of instrumented, how it was laid out, and how I chose to implement it. So there's several kind of key components. One of the things you had mentioned was weather, right? So the application can have, you know, a configured kind of zip code or city. Mm-hmm. And so when the application is running, when it first starts up, it goes and makes an API call out to OpenWeather. And it pulls that down, and I get the local weather and like a 5 or 6 day forecast. Mm-hmm. So with the voice commands, you had mentioned that specifically, it's actually using the voice recognition and the voice synthesis APIs that are native to UWP. So that was a huge win. And it actually makes it a little bit more responsive. If you were to use some of the voice recognition stuff going over the wire to cognitive services, it's actually relatively slow. It takes a lot of time because, as you can imagine, one with the Raspberry Pi, while it is powerful, it's a, you know, miniature device, so it's not overly powerful, so to speak. So all the different components, well, not all of them, most of the components in my application listen for voice commands, and then they return a contextual string that the voice synthesizer will then read back to us, so to speak. So once the weather comes down from API, I bind that information, and then you get, you know, the screen showing all the awesomeness that is the response from the API call. And then if I say, what's the weather, since it's always listening, it will switch, discover that that's the command, walk up to that component and say, hey, give me a string that I can then synthesize, and then it will read back the weather to me.
Excellent. So in terms of hardware, you mentioned that it's running on a Raspberry Pi. The Raspberry Pi itself is running Windows 10 IoT.
Exactly. Yeah. So getting back to the inspiration, so when I first started seeing Magic Mirrors, all of them that I saw were running not Windows stuff, right? So it was, you know, like Node.js was a popular medium for kind of working with that. What I really wanted to do was dive into UWP, so Universal Windows Platform. So I learned that because I was kind of familiar with WPF before I did some of that. So I was like, you know, I could take a stab at UWP. So it's all just XAML, right? But the primary goal was to use Visual Studio and C#, and I was able to do that. So what you're seeing when it actually is running and interacting with it, it's using Windows 10 IoT Core, UWP, so it's all C#.
So you said that you get a win because you were able to use the voice recognition APIs that come with UWP, like, come in the OS.
Yeah.
If for people that build a Node application, like you say, what solution would they use as an alternative? Do you know?
That's a fair question. If you're not busy, you know, installing or doing an NPM install, you might have time to Google that with Bing, I guess. I really don't know the answer to that. So I don't know if there's any type of I would imagine that there's not anything native to Node. I'd have to verify that. So you'd probably have to use some sort of web-based thing, like
user
cognitive
service.
Services.
Right? Yeah. Makes sense. That, I guess that's basically what I was asking. If makes sense.
Yep. cool.
So the Raspberry Pi has an HDMI output, so you are connecting that to how do you even get started with this? Because with the screen part, I mean, so do you take an existing screen apart, and what do you remove, what do you keep?
Exactly.
How do you actually build that thing?
Yeah, so there's actually a bit of a story. So this is my second monitor of the same brand monitor. I went on Amazon and I found a really fairly inexpensive 27-inch LED high definition HDMI monitor. It was a BenQ. And with that, I basically just physically removed the plastic shroud and then got just the display panel. And doing part of the construction, that initial one was damaged. So I had to buy another one.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's fun. There's, I guess I learned after the fact that you can probably go to, there's probably better ways of doing that. You can probably get just the display panels themselves.
I still don't quite get it though, because, we've all seen mirrors.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't know a ton about mirrors, but the ones I've seen, you know, they're shiny on the one side and reflective. And I thought on the other side, they're kind of painted, for lack of a better term, with some kind of like silver material.
But that's a two-way mirror that you used, right?
Acrylic?
So is it a vein of acrylic? Some are
reflective
acrylic? So
correct.
You know, like two-way mirrors will actually let light in, they will let light go through in both directions. It's just that there is one side that is brighter than the other.
I see.
So when you are on the dark side, you can see what's on the other side, but people can't see you because they're overwhelmed with the light. But you're actually visible. Your light does go through, it's just that it's very low. So I imagine what's going on with the screen here is the same.
See.
The parts of the screen that are bright are going through because they're bright, and the rest just looks like a regular mirror because it's dark.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
it's
so
just purely the application on those parts
makes sense.
Yeah, the application itself is basically like a high contrast, right? Where all of the background is, you know, pure black, and then the text and, you know, minor usage of icons are all bright white.
So the slightly counterintuitive thing here is that the black is actually shining. The black is the reflective part.
Is that right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I take it then, like from a UI UX standpoint, you have to build your application quite differently than you would a normal application. Like you have to build. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say in terms of the user interaction, most definitely, it's an entirely different concept in how you would approach that, right? Because there's a lot of voice commands and there's no keyboard or mouse. Although I have done that in the past for kind of debugging and stuff like that, because you can still USB plug in a mouse or a keyboard to the Raspberry Pi. It's just when it's kind of quote unquote in production, right? When it's mounted somewhere, you're not going to have access to that.
Do you know of any magic mirrors that have been built with a touchscreen? Is that possible?
So that's always a question I get. I would imagine it's possible. I don't know if you'd be able to get away with using the acrylic glass because it's kind of thick. You'd probably have to have a touch screen display panel that is has a reflective kind of sheath over it.
I see.
But one of the interesting things with that is, I don't know if you guys are married or not, but my wife would get really angry with the amount of smudges on the mirror, right?
That's a really good point. Okay, so you basically had to buy two displays, so that probably cost you something around $500, just the screens, right?
Actually, the monitor, like I said, they were relatively cheap. If you were to buy other ones, yeah. So I think they were like $160 each or something like that.
Okay. I see. How big are they?
They are 27 inch.
Okay, so that's sizable. And it's kind of amazing that you can get a 27 inch monitor for that cheap, actually.
That's why it's not too fearful to kind of rip the shroud off and potentially damage it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I should probably ask my boss who's sitting next to me to buy me a bigger monitor.
Totally.
I'm working with 24 inch monitors, and that's
that is a bit small. I have one 30 inch monitor, so.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so the blog post I put together on it, specifically, it actually itemized all the different things with rough costs and links. And so altogether, it was under $500 with the Raspberry Pi and the camera.
Scotch included, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, yep. Ah, yeah. So, yes. So that's a bit of the story, too. So I actually kind of outsourced the carpentry work specifically.
Oh.
So building a magic mirror is knowing who to have as a good friend for carpentry.
Oh, and the scotch was the bribe.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
I see. That makes total sense.
So we kind of talked a bit about how it's built. And maybe it's obvious, but have you spent some time thinking about the user scenarios beyond just asking for the weather that you have in mind? You know, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, there's been a lot of thoughts and feature ideas. So one thing I was thinking about using was the geolocation stuff that's built into Windows 10. So that some of the shortcomings are with using certain features like that. Windows 10 likes to have a user kind of validate that it's allowed to use that service, for example, right? So if there's a user interface that pops up and says, "Hey, Mr. User, do you want to use, allow geo services to work?" How do you handle that with the voice? How do you acknowledge that, right? So you have to kind of be voice command centric. But there's been, like I said, a ton of different ideas. People have suggested, what if I want to change the theme? And I was like, well, that's not really part of what's built in. The nice thing is it's open source and it's on GitHub. So do a pull request and I'll happily, review it and, accept it and make it part of what we're able to do and imagine, I guess.
Yeah, and we'll put all the links in the description, the link to your blog post, the link to the repository. And I imagine the repository also has some links to places where you can learn how to physically build something like this.
Yeah, yes, definitely.
I'm still thinking about the user scenarios. So it's fundamentally tied to mirrors. Right? It's a magic mirror.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Right.
Yeah. So I guess, would you say in terms of the addressable market that it's a subset of the places where mirrors naturally exist today is where this would be used? Meaning the other option would be somehow this product changes the mirror market and expands the places where mirrors can be naturally used.
I would definitely say so. I can't take credit for any of that. However, there are actually companies in Wisconsin already that are doing
commercial like full options.
Yeah, like TVs and stuff like that behind mirrors at hotels. So it's starting to come. It's just like the basis of Internet of Things, right? The more contextual and convenient and relevant information you can have at your fingertips, the better. I think one of the user scenarios that would be most common for something like this would be if it does have the weather, potential traffic or, your calendar or things that are pertinent to you as a person, or as an individual. If you could tie in with some of like the, potentially cognitive services to where when you walk into the bathroom, for example, it does facial recognition and then pulls up your information, right? Just automatically. Mm-hmm. I think that would be really powerful.
That would be super useful.
Yeah, I've also, I just did a big trip over the Christmas break. And so I was in airplane bathrooms. And, there were a couple flights that we did that actually got significant amount of turbulence, and you could kind of imagine printing some information on the mirror in the bathroom to kind of say, you know, you might think about leaving this room and getting to your seat pretty soon. So it's similar to the hotel thing, just...
Yeah, right. You would not include the camera in that particular application, though.
No, I wouldn't particularly want that.
Yeah.
But I just meant from a pure messaging standpoint.
Yeah, definitely. So do you have a feature where it recognizes when you say mirror, mirror, who's the fairest of them all?
No, I do not have that feature.
What?
So ironically, I was tempted to make something kind of like an Easter egg like that. So when I actually took this mirror and I had a deck and I presented at MKE.net last fall on building a magic mirror, right? And the day it fell was basically Halloween. So one of the ideas I had was for my demo to have like some sort of terrifying creature that just appears, right, randomly, or, you know, you can do, you know, sounds too, right? It has a sound bar, so I could have played eerie music or whatever. So it's whatever you can imagine so today it seems like whatever you can imagine is you can do, right?
Yeah, and it's open source.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Exactly. So is this a hobby for you, or are there any kind of commercial plans behind it for you?
No, for me, definitely no commercial. You know, people have said that, why aren't you selling this? And I just wouldn't feel right because it's not really my idea. It was, again, I was inspired by others. I'm assuming there's probably patents out there. So for me, it was more or less a hobby. I've got three very young sons. So when I was putting my 2.5 and 4.5-year-old to sleep every night, that's when I would take time to bring my laptop in their room as they're falling asleep and develop this. So this was actually developed at night in the dark, which, as you can imagine, is kind of hard to start debugging. The nice thing was the high contrast, so I would whisper to it and try to do certain things, and it was a lot of fun. So it was definitely a hobby.
Do you know how long it took you? About how long it took to build the software and to build the hardware?
Yeah, I want to say it was a few months, but it wasn't consistent. I wasn't like every single night spending a couple hours. It was just, you know, a couple nights a week probably.
Mm. And mostly the software, or?
Yeah, mostly the software. Like I said, with the benefits of offloading carpentry, if you will, is all I needed to do was go buy a bottle of scotch.
So you brought the mirror into the room here. How hard is it to move around? How do you install it? How is it installed usually at home? Is it in your bathroom or?
I've still been wanting to do some final touches on it in terms of the construction and kind of finalizing some of the look. And
so it's not yet in its final...
It is not. It's not go live, so to speak. One of the cameras that I have that's mounted in there now, I can probably show you the camera up here. Let's zoom over. This camera is actually really, really inexpensive. And I discovered that it wasn't the best choice in terms of having something capable of picking up audio inside like a full room setting, right? So
that's why you have the other camera.
Yeah, that's why this one's up here. It's got a better mic. Mm. So ideally, I'll be able to kind of switch this out and you know, again, this is still, I guess, quote unquote, beta.
Is it possible to try it again? Is it in a better state now?
Yeah, I would love to try to do that. So what I'll try to do is just walk through a couple commands here and see if we can get a better response. So I did a bunch of testing preemptively, and it was working, and now see if that'll work.
That has definitely happened to me before.
It does look great. I love the choice of font. And
The choice of font is really good.
What can I say? What's the weather? What's the weather?
It's currently 20 degrees right now in Milwaukee, with a low of 16 degrees and a high of 23 degrees. If you were to look outside, you'd notice some overcast clouds. Winds are blowing 5 miles per hour to the west, and you can expect sunset at 4:41 p.m.
That's pretty detailed.
What's the weather for Saturday?
On Saturday, the 14th, expect clear sky with a low of 6 degrees and a high of 23 degrees.
That is pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. And I like that. So I'm not a big fan usually of voice user experiences, because it seems a little... you always have alternatives. You almost always have alternatives.
Better right.
Alternatives. But in this case, yeah, I can totally see how that works. Because, this has no other input. Right?
Yeah.
It makes total sense in that case.
The other thing that's funny about that is it's one of these things where people understand that from the get-go. You don't have to explain to them that voice is the best option for this user application.
Exactly.
makes sense. So, when you ask for a song, how does that work? Does it have any sort of fuzzy matching?
So with music specifically, that one's not a fully fledged feature. So what that means is, I was initially exploring some sort of web-based streaming of music. And I didn't get a chance to kind of set that up. All the other things like cognitive services and the open weather API and the calendar stuff where it goes and gets the iCal formatted calendar stuff where we do the aggregation of the calendar events. Those are all web APIs. So for the music specifically, I actually just have kind of cheated and I only have like 5 files that are physically on the app, as part of the application. So it's physically on disk, so to speak.
Makes sense.
So when I say play music, it has 5 songs that I know are songs that I like or whatever. So getting back to the feature incomplete part of that is I could certainly, if I had a backlog, there would be a story on there for implementing that as a web service.
Makes sense. Yeah.
What's next? What are you going to implement next?
Yeah. So that the theme. I want to. So I didn't demonstrate the how do I look feature. I can talk about that a little bit real quick before I go into that. So when I say how do I look, this was one of the features that was kind of I thought would be awesome. Mm-hmm. So what it does is the voice recognizer. Picks up, it determines that command is the emotion command. Mm-hmm. And then, so it stops, or it actually starts with the webcam to do, to take a picture. So it's streaming, right? And it takes a picture, takes that picture, saves it to disk, takes that stream from disk, and serves that over to the emotion client, which is part of the SDK for Microsoft's cognitive services. And you can say, recognize. With that stream, and what it does is it will return a response and shows a scores class that basically has 5 different known emotional type of responses, like one being happiness, anger, surprise, and it's rated, right? So you get a percentage of confidence. So you take whichever one you think or whichever one it thinks is the most probable. And I have a way to then synthesize something that correlates to that. So that entire process that I just stated takes anywhere from 3 to 15 seconds, depending on everything. Because so you can stand there and say, how do I look? And you'll see like the little status that says emotion. So, you know, it's working on it. The camera lights up and you can stand there, stare there at the camera blankly for up to 15 seconds. So it's kind of awkward to demonstrate. But once it does come back, it's like, oh, cool. It says I looked happy and I know I did. So
you have a code sample of that on your blog post that I thought was completely surreal. It the code looks like detect emotion and if happy do this. That we can do that is just so amazing.
Yeah, it was really cool. So I would say in terms of what the future is, you know, I've got lots of ambitions to do, you know, cool things that are, you know, clever and sleek like that. But part of the issue is trying to figure out, you know, where do I get the extra power to process all of that and make it responsive such that it's not something that takes that long, right? So if the nice thing with the stuff, you know, the voice commands being local, is they're pretty responsive, right? You could see that I could ask it a question, it would churn for a little bit, and then it would respond in kind of an acceptable amount of time. Whereas with that stuff that goes way out to the web and crunches stuff and comes back, it's a lot more process intensive, and there's a lot of network IO, as you can imagine. So in terms of features, it's, yeah, go ahead.
If you were to do that locally, do you already have an idea of what library you'd like to use?
I would love it if Microsoft's cognitive services would just be local. If I could just get an SDK and that would just work, right? I mean, I think we'll get there eventually. I guess I'm assuming. You know, it was a similar thing years ago, right, where voice recognition and synthesizers weren't really, there were services for them, but having a local SDK wasn't something that necessarily existed, at least to my knowledge.
One of the interesting things about mirrors, I'm still kind of thinking about how people think about mirrors generally, is they operate at the speed of light. And so they're always instantly responsive. And so if there's something that takes 15 seconds, it kind of breaks the metaphor that people are used to.
Exactly. Yep.
And because what you really want is you want them to not think about the product differently than as a mirror. You don't want them to think like, oh, there's a computer behind the mirror and it's talking to web services, right? You want to keep that illusion of the speed of light alive.
Yeah, you want it to be magic, and you want it to be seamless.
Yeah,
right.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, when you're holding your phone in your hand, you realize that this is a computing device. Like, there's no escaping that, and it's less magical in that sense. It's like just clearly it's clearly a smaller desktop PC in that sense. Whereas this is something that fundamentally is a magic device.
Yeah, you don't see it as a computer.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say is.
Yeah.
Right.
And
the original magic mirror from the from Snow White is, I mean, it is voice operating.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So the speed of light thing, I think, is actually an important user experience to maintain.
Yeah. I would argue that it's not just important. It's vital to the quality.
Yeah.
It's without that. That's why I don't even really want to demonstrate that feature, right? Because it's something that's just so kind of outlandish. It takes so long. But to really optimize.
It breaks the spell.
It definitely does. Right.
That's exactly what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But being able to talk to a mirror and it talk back and give you stuff that's contextual and intuitive and, you know, timeliness, that's cool. Like the weather stuff. Some of that stuff that's already sitting there, you know, web API might execute. And like, for example, the weather updates every 15 minutes. So if I'm in the shower, I look at before I jump in the shower, for example, I look at the weather, then I jump back out of the shower and I say, well, what's the weather? And it would tell it. And if it changed or whatever, or if the forecast or you know, certain thing for like calendar or traffic and things like that, it can be pretty powerful.
Yeah, traffic combined with your schedule, I suppose, would be very useful. It could tell you, you'd better take a quick shower because yeah. you're going to be late.
Or you might just want to skip today.
Yeah.
Another thing is mirrors traditionally are completely passive devices that require no power.
Right.
Is this a... Fundamentally, I mean, I understand a Raspberry Pi needs power. So I think this answer is going to be pretty obvious. But I take it, you know, do these need an AC plug to operate?
They absolutely, yeah, definitely.
Right. So, I mean, obviously in a hotel setting, that's kind of no big deal from the standpoint that, we're going to install, you know, 1,000 of these in this building, and so we'll just procure power as part of that. But certainly in a residential setting, that would certainly be an impedance for at least a mass adoption, at least for existing buildings.
Something you'd have to plan when you
built the building.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. It's, you know, we're definitely not there yet. It's one of those things where you have to kind of have the foresight for it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Speaking about user interaction, so you have voice recognition, and we talked mm-hmm. briefly about touch, which, would have a number of issues. What about gestures? Did you think about that?
Minority Report.
Yeah, that's a right. great one. There was actually suggestions about that too, in talking with some other people. You know, gestures would be a great thing, especially if you could have like. The camera correspond to like little UI things on the screen, like I gesture over here, or I want this, or you almost select by, you know, pantomiming what it is that you want to interact with, for example. Like I've imagined scenarios before in my head where I can like just kind of wave over the forecast and then it drills into it and gives me more contextual information, or like a calendar event. Like right now I just have the title of the event that I'm, you know, committed to. What if I gesture over there and it kind of blows up and gives me more information about it, right? So I think that's a great next step.
I mean, if I think about my Xbox at home with the Kinect sensor, mm-hmm. That's the kind of thing that it enables you to do, right?
And gesture recognition does work better with large screens, so.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because the hit test is easier.
Yeah, it's a question of distance and angle.
Yeah.
You know, what you need to aim at needs to be sufficiently distinguishable from other things. Yeah. Yep. All right. What about your day job?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about too.
My day job. My day job. I'm actually a Microsoft evangelist. I work at Centair. So Centair is a software company here in the Midwest. I'm actually in their office right now in Brookfield, Wisconsin. So Centair is a great company. We've got a development center, and consulting practice, and agile practice. So kind of three tiers. So what I do, I work in the consulting practice, and I've been, like the last 15 months, I've been spending a lot of time working with ASP.NET Core. So some of my blogs have actually been up there with, you know, on the ASP.NET community stand-ups up on web devs and stuff. So that's been really gratifying working on ASP.NET Core.
Yeah, you have an active blogging activity. We've relayed some of your blog posts on the wiki.net as well.
So
thanks for all the activity. That's great.
Yeah, thank you.
So changing topics a little bit from the mirror to ASP.NET Core. So in your practice, there must be a reason why you're working on this, meaning presumably customers of yours come to your company and say, oh, we want to build our next version of the website and we want to build it with ASP.NET Core. Is that kind of what's happening, or?
Um, it, Yes and no. I mean, that's kind of a substandard scenario. Typically what it is our consulting practice is more or less kind of like advising, like, hey, this is something you need to consider. We actually just recently put together a tech radar following what ThoughtWorks has done as a group. There's about 120 employees here at Centair, so a wealth of very wise individuals that I'm fortunate enough to work with. So with ASP.NET Core specifically, I was at this customer engagement, and they decided that they wanted to write the second version using Bleeding Edge. So, and 15 months ago, that's what it was, right? So today, it's RTM, it's stable, and it's just been a ton of fun. So.
Cool.
That sounds like good news.
Another thing I wanted to ask you about is, did you get a chance to present that in user group settings yet?
The Magic Mirror? Yeah. No, not yet. With three small children, you know, biding time is sometimes difficult.
Yeah, so, especially as those things tend to happen at night. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't know anything about that, do we? Actually, our children are a little older now, so we can just ignore them.
And they ignore us.
They ignore us in return. It's not nearly that simple.
I can't ignore mine. So
no.
Yeah, I remember that. I actually had this. Situation when I had a small child, our first one, and I remember being in their bedroom just like you mentioned, and I was putting them to sleep in their crib, and I was literally like three quarters asleep at the time, and I had this like I completely didn't know what was going on, and I thought there were like exceptions being thrown. Like I just I had to like get myself out of.
It was a hallucination.
Yeah, it was literally a hallucination. I had to get out of that to realize I had a child there. So it was super weird.
Yeah,
that was a Stack Overflow. Right?
It was like a Stack Overflow, but that was literally what was in my head. My head was inside a computer.
So you are a computer.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Interesting. Okay. Well. It's been very, very interesting. I love this project, and I wish it all the luck. I hope you get some good contributions from this, and that other people build their own. Actually, I would love to build mine. I have no idea where I would put it in the house, but I really love the project. So
it's a very good idea.
Thank you so much.
And well, unless you have any. Anything else to add? Announcements or anything?
No, nothing that I can think of. Are there any questions? I know that we were going to open it up on Gitter.
Oh, yeah. Kendra, questions. Did we get any? No?
No.
Yeah.
Well, I'm certainly.
We answered them all, right? No.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. I think it's exciting to have had our first show of. This is the first show of 2017?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. First show of 2017. Cool.
What an honor. Thank you again.
Yes.
Well, it was great having you. So thanks a lot. Thanks, everyone, for watching. And we'll be back next week. I have no idea.
Okay.
We'll see.
All right. Thanks,
bye,
guys.
Everyone.
Yep. Bye.